Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Simcast, your weekly source for occasionally sim racing news, or so I'm told. This is episode 12 of our 2022 season, and it's US week. So, of course, you have myself, Mr. Ben Williams, and still hungover from Sebring, Mr. Louis Satterley.
That's not going away until June.
Probably not. How are, are you recovering at all, Louis?
Oh, yes, I am recovering. I'll say this. I don't want to see a beer until June.
Mm.
I don't want to see tequila for longer. And then I had something called a B-52, which is very convenient considering that we were at an old military base.
Yes. What is the B-52?
Okay, so that is...
You know I don't drink, so...
I had a nickname for it, actually. So B-52 is one part Grand Marnier, one part Kahlua, one part Bailey's Irish Cream. My personal opinion is that if more than one person are taking a B-52, it becomes a carpet bomb. Because if you hit more than one target, it's a carpet bomb. So that's what I started calling them. So
you had a little fun?
A little. Had a few scares too, so.
Yes, you shared with me right before the recording the fun thundercloud that went over your campsite during...
Well, actually, that was fun number two of the week.
That was fun number two, okay.
Of the week. So Saturday, I showed up out there in the field. Not even 2 hours later, what we call a number six comes through, which we had one guy that was right next to us, which was real funny. He's just like, it's like, what's a number six? Is that like worse than a number five? So me being me, I just piped in and says, numerical order says yes.
And this is the Saturday before the race, correct?
Yes, this is the Saturday before the race. So we got our big, huge 20x20 tarp set up out there just to keep a shade out there in the field, which you definitely need.
Yeah.
I mean, you're basically in the middle of a... no longer cow pasture. So, I mean, it gets hot.
From the Pennsylvania farm area, I know what that's like.
Yeah. So, I mean, it gets hot. I mean, it does have its cool patches whenever a rogue cloud happens to roll over. And then, the wind was so bad, actually, we had to use some literal steel rods to stake down the tent, and it was still trying to lift up off the ground.
I was going to say.
Yeah, it was pretty significant.
You don't want to repeat from a couple of years ago there, Louis?
No, not quite. That was members of our camp for argument. Members of our camp. It came from our campsite, yes, but it was not me. We usually stake our stuff down.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, went through that. That lasted about an hour and a half, which was nice and fun. That rain was cold, too. My goodness. And actually, that was that same storefront that you experienced yourself, but got snow out of.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize, I read about it later, that that same storefront literally went from Florida all the way up to the state of Maine. So that's...
Yeah, and I got about 5 inches of snow. So,
well, be lucky, because apparently people in Atlanta got 8.
Ugh.
Yeah. So naturally, the next day was cooler. It was nice, and it was very windy, too. So it was definitely a pants day and wearing a jacket and try to stay out of the wind sort of day. Following day was probably the most pleasant. So that one was really enjoyable. But Saturday, and here's a fun story for you, Sunday, during the prologue test, everybody that we were camping with, we all went over to 7, which is the hotel just outside of Sebring's hairpin turn 7, and turned around to go to the bathroom, and a bunch of guys are up there waving at us. We realize it was friends of ours, and then I come back out from the bathroom, tell everybody about it, and then next thing you know, we're giving everybody up there the one finger salute, you know, just for funsies, because we can. And then next thing we know, the person that they're hanging out with up there comes down and he goes, hey, I saw you guys giving George and Victor over there the one finger salute. You guys want to come up and enjoy the view for a bit? So that being said, don't let anybody tell you that giving somebody the bird will not get you anywhere in life, because it got me inside of a hotel room and I got a wonderful view of the track and the cars going around.
We at the Simcast do not confirm nor deny anything that Louis Sadowy says. Use his suggestions at your own risk. We are not liable.
No, not liable. And this is just some of the antics that happen out there. And this is what happens when you're just good friends with people, you know?
Mm-hmm. How was the racing?
The racing was brilliant.
The reason you were supposed to be there for.
So, the racing was brilliant. The food was also brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the wonderful second part of our weather that we got came within the final hour of the WEC race, which we had a cloud pass over, which was rightfully red flag. But I'm sitting there watching the video feed of it, and all the drivers are standing out there on the front straightaway, and all the crew members in there just standing right next to the car. And then I turn around and look up above at the campsite, and I see that there's a funnel cloud there. It's like, well, we shouldn't be out here.
Nope.
So,
since you're bringing up the WC race, I'm just making sure I understand this correctly, because I was relying on the WEC feed. I think that's Sky Sports, right?
I believe you are correct.
Okay. So it's literally a local law in that area of Florida, or is it a Florida law? I'm not sure. It's a Florida law that says that you cannot be outside whenever it's thundering and lightning. Is that correct?
You cannot be doing anything recreational. So in in theory, they could tell you that, for instance, and it's just here, I'll use this because this is my experience with it whenever I worked at a timeshare resort.
Okay.
And actually, but apparently the law has changed. It's become a lot more lax, and it's now, time is now shaved in half. It used to be anytime that there was a strike of lightning at the resort, we had to vacate the pool area. That was an area that we can control for 30 minutes from the last time a lightning strike happened. Mm-hmm. So as soon as anytime within that 30 minutes, another lightning strike happened, it's 30 minutes from that point.
Okay.
So same thing here. Obviously, you can't tell almost a sold out crowd of people at a racetrack to go inside because you can't fit that many people inside of public bathrooms. I'm sorry, you can't. So everybody kind of, you know, you could say seek shelter. That's about all you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we had out there. We had a 15-minute break. They tried to go again, and then during the warm-up laps, got another lightning strike, and they had to park them again, and then they just started popping off left and right after that, and it's like, yeah, we're not getting this one in. So anyway, but Saturday, much better weather. The rain chances kept decreasing all day. I mean, the day before, after the WEC race, we were seeing 60% chances of rain. We woke up to 15. Midway through the race, it said 5. So it's like, okay, it's not going to rain. But man, was it hot.
Yeah.
It was blistering hot. I mean, it got to the point where we're like underneath our tents and we're just like, okay, you know, let's tired of sitting here watching race at the camp. I want to walk around. But at the same time, you couldn't stand outside the tent for longer than 5 minutes before you had to go back in and find shade just to cool off again. So, I mean, it was a brutal one. And I sympathize with the drivers on that one because that probably wasn't very fun at all.
Yeah, something that they were saying on the IMSA TV broadcast was that whenever a driver got out of the car, he looked like he just run 15 laps.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of drove 15 laps.
Yeah. So, which is saying something, because if I'm not mistaken, there is rules and regulations to where the internal cabin temperature has to be a certain amount and it cannot exceed a certain temperature. So, I mean, even still, that's... Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
quite significant.
There was a car that I don't remember which one it was that literally their AC stopped working in the middle of the race.
Yeah.
And then there was a cold suit issue, so.
Yeah, that's definitely a bad day.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome to the Simcast, where we occasionally talk about some racing news.
Well, you got everything there out of me, so hopefully I didn't get us in trouble while discussing pre-race antics. And almost met up with John and Eve, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, Eve found out that I was over there at the hotel because I shared a video on the collective and then basically asked if I was still there. I was like, yeah, I'd love to do a meetup, and basically gave her my location where we're at. And I understand that they're busy, so I didn't really press the matter and put the ball in their court. And unfortunately, I guess they were just too busy and couldn't get away for a little bit. So almost happened. Mm-hmm. Would have been fun.
I honestly, if we weren't canceled after the discussion that Matt and Jordan had at the beginning of the last episode, I think we're fine.
Well, if Jordan put us on the radar, I put us over the edge. How about that?
It wasn't Jordan.
Okay.
I jokingly messaged them afterwards and said, are we the soup cast now?
Oh, that's what that was about.
Yeah, that's what that was about.
Yeah, because I was sitting there like, what was soup cast have to do with it? You know, granted, I was out in the middle of the racetrack having a lot of fun, a lot of adult fun. Drink responsibly. Yes.
Oh, man. Anyway, we do have some sim racing stuff that we want to get to and a really interesting interview. So, of course, you can follow us on Twitter at Simcast Radio. Tell us what you're thinking about the show using the hashtag SimcastRSL. And, of course, myself, Lewis, Matt, and Jordan are all members of the Listeners Collective. So, first up on tonight's show.
We've already done that part.
Well,
Second up on tonight's show.
We've been wanting to do this for a while here on the Simcast, and a little bit when we were still the Toro Radio Show, is that we want to talk about women in sim racing. Obviously, we've made jokes on the show before about how there's not that many women in sim racing, and we've made allusions to the fact that there aren't many women in sim racing. How's
that?
That'd
be a better analogy to use.
Yeah. Over the last couple of years, much like women in motorsports, women in sim racing has become much more popular and prevalent. And we figured out the best way to do that would be to actually invite a woman who is a sim racer to come on the show and talk to us about it.
Excellent.
So, huh?
I said excellent.
Yes. So earlier this week, I sat down with Twitch streamer Ash Vandelay, and this is what we talked about. Our special guest tonight is a Twitch partnered streamer who is no stranger to Twitch's front page, an F1 content creator, and a sim racer who focuses on spreading the popularity of F1 in the US, teaching new fans the ins and outs of F1 terms and format, and is an advocate for more women in both motorsports and sim racing. Welcome to the show, Ash.
Thanks for having me.
So, this is kind of like the first thing I always ask to our guests. How did you get into motorsports and or sim racing?
Sure. Those are two separate stories. Do we have enough time for both?
Oh, yeah.
So, motorsports, I guess specifically just F1. Mm-hmm. My parents are originally from Poland. They immigrated to the United States in the 80s. And anytime someone who's Polish does something cool, my dad always lets us know. I still get articles and emails to this day.
That's awesome.
And he came into my room one day, knocking on the door, and he said, "Ashley, there's a man named Robert Kubica racing in Formula One. Would you like to watch with me?" And I was like, "I don't know what you just said, but yeah, I'm not doing anything." How old was I at the time, right? So we just started watching all the time together, and then cheering for Robert Kubica, and we just kept going after that because we just watched so many races together. And the discussions are lengthy, as we all know, from like this mm-hmm. season and previous season. So, yeah. And that's how I started getting to F1. And then, of course, when you start talking about F1, people are like, "Well, do you know about this motorsport? You know, have you tried watching this? Like, this is really interesting to me." So they just dabble in all things motorsport from there. You just keep mm-hmm. branching out by talking to people. So that's kind of been my background since then. And then sim racing is always a fun story. When I started doing Formula One watch along streams, someone suggested that I play the game as well.
Yeah.
And I wasn't taking it super seriously. I was just having a good time, but I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day when I was streaming, Tony Kanaan came in and I didn't realize it was the real Tony Kanaan.
Just casually Indy 500 winner Tony Kanaan.
Yeah.
Just,
and everyone
just
was
casually enters
out.
Your stream.
I was playing at the time Euro Truck Simulator because I was trying to try something new, because like with Twitch you gotta like experiment and stuff. So
yeah,
I was playing Euro Truck Simulator. Tony Kanaan comes in and everyone's like, "Tony Kanaan, oh my god." He's like, no, "I'm just a big fan. I'm not the real guy." He didn't have like his check mark or anything.
Yeah.
Like it was very nonchalant. And everyone's like, Oh, okay, no, but like Tony Kanaan's super cool. And he's like, no, I'm just an Uber driver in Brazil. And we're like, "Oh, you probably still drive faster than Ashley," because I was crashing the whole entire time.
Oh, Tony.
And we were just like hanging out with him. We're like, this is not the real, this is just a normal dude. And he's vibing and we're having a good time. And he like randomly gifted 5 subs. And he's like, "I'm having a great time. Like, thank you so much for entertaining." We're like, "Yeah, have a great day. Like, I hope you come back." 2 seconds, like, the next couple times, like, it's the actual Tony Kanaan. And he's like, hey, Ash. And I'm like, oh my God, hi.
Yeah.
And we just kept building a relationship. He was always like making fun of, not like in a, you know, in a nice way.
Yeah.
He'd kind of jostling me because I was like racing in like slippers and like house slippers. In Poland, we call them kapcha. I was just trying to have a good time vibing with chat, not actually taking sim racing seriously. And he'd be like, you should try to actually try. Yeah. And I was like, I guess I could. He's like, let me hear. He gifted me graciously 3 months of iRacing. And I was like, he's like, try it. If you don't like it, you don't like it. No big deal. And little did I know I was joining a cult. And here I am months later, still iRacing, spending money on wheels and rims and pedals and
prepping for the special events.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So he was onto something there.
Whenever someone gives anyone a like trial period of iRacing or like lets them borrow their physical, and even think you can get a physical copy of this game, lets them like play a Assetto Corsa Competizione or the original Assetto Corsa, it should come with a proviso that says, prepare to lose all of your money because you're going to try this once and you're going to love it.
Yeah, little did I know.
Yeah, little.
That all the money would be
good. I always say, welcome to sim racing. I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah. I also kind of feel like between sim racing and motorsports, one is always the gateway drug for the other.
Right.
Because, you know, I, like, for my experience, my dad was a car guy. He's been a mechanic my entire life. Mm-hmm. He got me interested in cars at a very young age. And with that came a love of motorsports, and because I couldn't actually do motorsports, I became involved in sim racing, and now I'm hosting this thing.
One leads to the other to the other, just like you said. Yep.
Yeah, and if there's any positives that can come from COVID, it would definitely be like the rise of popularity of sim racing, because a little about this show is that this used to be a monthly show. It is now a weekly show because people wanted more sim racing content because there was nothing else going on. So we just kind of shifted gears and rearranged our schedule so that we can do this every week. Also, anything can come from COVID. It's that you get like Tony Kanaan streaming. You've got Morad streaming. You've got Lando occasionally streaming, but it's usually his friend.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
Just like a little internet family world that we're all a part of.
Oh, and Scott McLaughlin, who should have won that race earlier, but anyway. So when did you start streaming / making content around motorsports and sim racing? Was it just something that happened in that natural progression that we've talked about? Or was it like I'm in lockdown, I don't have anything else to do, let's try this kind of thing?
I don't mind talking about this. The reason I started streaming was it was a goal with my therapist for my social anxiety.
Oh, okay.
During the pandemic where it was just really bad doom scrolling, being alone. And I was living in a tiny apartment at the time with my boyfriend at the time. And it was just like a lot. You're working in the same room, and I was sleeping in the same room, and I couldn't get away from my work, and I was stressed. And she's like, what do you do for yourself? And I was like, oh, I started watching Twitch streams, because you're just part of this little community. Like, you don't have to do anything. You can just sit there and type, or you can just lurk, which is great. And she's like, oh, why don't you be that community for someone? And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, I would never do that. Little did she know that she was right.
How many viewers? I'm going to promote you a little bit more here. How many viewers did you have during your F1 stream earlier today? We're recording this the same day as the F1 season opener. So how many viewers did you have at one point?
I had 10,682.
That's nuts.
That is
cool.
What's really helped me visualize my journey for streaming, because I used to, you know, you start somewhere. You start with zero, you go to 3, 4, 20, and so on and so forth. I remember I had like below the partner limit that you want. And I was like, man, like I don't have 75 people, because that's the number for Twitch.
Yeah.
And my friend's like, can you imagine being in a room with 60 people? And I was like, what? She's like, imagine a room with 60 people. And I was like, that actually is a lot of people listening to me do this stuff, like actually coming in and listening to me talk about racing or whatever it was I was doing at the time. Mm-hmm. So to think about 10,682 people is insane. That's,
yeah,
that's a lot of colleges in the United States.
Are, yeah, it is.
You know, so
I see you also cool. went to a small college.
Yeah, I went to a big high school, small college. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, 10,000.
Yeah, I grew up in rural Pennsylvania, so it was small town, small high school, small college.
I grew up in New York City, so it was big everything.
Yeah, that's a difference.
Complete opposite direction there.
Yeah.
And yeah. When I was streaming Portal because that's the video game that I knew and loved a lot. I love Portal.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Portal.
Forwards and backwards, blindfolded. Yeah. I love that game. And I also, I mean, my love of Formula One continued, and I was talking to my friend Sal, and I was like, why don't we just dabble in just talking about F1?
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone's bound to either pop in there or just talk about it, and let's do it. And it just started progressing. And then a Twitch employee came in and they're like, hey, we have a sports program. Would you be interested in it? And they got me some tools and like they cool. had some like, PDFs that I can check out. So yeah. And then I just started going, and then the Tony Kanaan thing with the sim racing. And then it just kind of escalated till we had 10,000 yep. people at one time.
Yeah. So I don't remember exactly when I first checked out your stream, but I remember there wasn't that many in there, and I've been slowly just kind of in the background watching you climb and climb. It's been awesome to see.
That is super cool.
Yeah. So, Ash, you shared recently that someone kept a tally, and apparently only about 15 minutes of the most recent Drive to Survive season included women. What does that say to you as a woman who loves motorsports? Is it off-putting? Is it like embolden you more to scream from the rooftops that, hey, I'm a woman and I like motorsports? What do you think about that?
Where do we start? So, Tony Kelly Brown.
You, feel free to throw people under the bus. I on this show, I have called out game developers for being sexist. So, have at it.
The woman who put that together, her name is Tony Cowan Brown, and she's incredible. Mm-hmm. She's also another creator, and if you can grab her on the podcast, that'd be awesome. She's so smart.
I'll add it to the list.
And she put that together, and she did a whole spreadsheet, color coded timestamps of how many women were there, or how often women were shown in Drive to Survive season 4. And of course, just like you said, like 15 minutes, if even like less than that. And it's frustrating because
yeah.
I don't even like we belong in motorsports is the first thing. And there's yeah. issues I've had with that, like private comments or Instagram DMs or TikTok DMs about like me and my streams and my content and how women don't belong there. But then in Drive to Survive, where women are employed to be there and do their jobs mm-hmm. well, because we know F1 is not for the faint of heart or people who can't travel a lot or keep up with everything.
Yeah.
It's frustrating to see that. And there's women who are in big aspects of the job and they still weren't shown. It's
yeah.
just like, what else do we have to do? Like, we do the same jobs you do. Now you need us to do what? Take up more space? You want us to be louder? Like, Jesus. It's just really frustrating.
Yeah. I'm blanking her. Claire Williams, correct?
Owner, or
yeah.
former owner. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you literally have an F1 team that's run by a woman. Why does it still feel like it's just the boys' club in general?
Right, like, even when she was running Williams, right?
Yeah.
It was really frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, we're both American. There's always the sense that F1 is this, like, snooty. Like, mm-hmm. well, this is where the rich boys race kind of feel to it. And I think that just kind of I don't know if that's like a self-fulfilling prophecy or like a self-feeding loop that they get themselves in, where it's like that feeling's there and they perpetuate it by making comments like Christian Horner's comments about women's right. interest in motorsports recently.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really... what's your reaction to that? Because I want to hear this.
One thing is I did like that for Susie Wolf. They like like Susie Wolf, and they gave her her title, and they didn't call her Toto's wife. Like, I would have lost it if they're like, "This is Toto." Like, I was like, "No, she has a job."
This
title?
Person only has value because of the person that they chose to partner with. Right. Exactly. Yeah,
I would have lost it. But I'm so glad that she got a lot of on screen time, and she added so much to the show. For Christian Horner's comment,
get him.
I'm rolling up my sleeves. Why? It's if you do watch Formula One because you think the drivers are hot, that's fine. That is absolutely fine. Yeah. I don't care. You're welcome. Cool. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're watching with us.
This is 2022. You don't have to be just a one to find them attractive.
To that too, the fact that one, he just assumed that it was only like that women found the men attractive as opposed to like the cars, you know, who were like the best looking things on the grid, or like that all women were straight and they only watched.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating. And then to discount the fact that there's plenty of women fans or women who are mechanical engineers and love that side of Formula One, or women who want to be strategists or journalists and into like to discredit a whole like part of a gender is so frustrating. And it comes, and some people are like, this comment still wasn't that bad, but to you just tack it onto a list of other comments that women get every single day.
Oh yeah.
And it's just like, it's keep climbing an uphill battle, walking in the snow both ways. It's just so frustrating. Again, like similar to what we just mentioned earlier. So that one comment, and he has such a high platform as a team principal of Red Bull Racing. I don't think he realizes that. That like his words, like fans will see that he says that, or young men will see that he say that, or fans of Max, fans of Red Bull, and be like, oh, I can say that now. That's right. Women are only here just for the cute guys. I'm here for a real reason because I like sports. Where it's like, all right, dude. It's just...
Okay. Just scroll your roll there, buddy.
I'm surprised. Does he not have like a PR training team? Does he not go through?
You would think, because I mean, F1 is a multi-million dollar organization. You would think there'd be some level of sensitivity training.
Do they not do, compliance training like I have to do for work every single quarter about everything? Gosh. No, nothing.
Don't get me started on that. So you've already made comments alluding to this, but obviously being a woman in gaming, women interested in motorsports, you've probably experienced some less than polite behavior. Mm-hmm. Have you really experienced that entering sim racing?
There have been a few sessions in iRacing where like you got comments or something.
The official iRacing sessions are not known to be the most nurturing of places.
In general, let alone for women.
I got called out, I think it was on Friday, because I had a lower I rating than what he thought I should. I got referred to as, he's just a 1.2K I rating. Like somehow because I have this, they're not really associated with anything else, number associated with a name that means I'm less than, which is like, come on, man.
And you're racing a virtual car. Like, he's acting like you're in Formula One or like in an IndyCar or something. Like, who cares? Like, we're here to have fun. We're here to enjoy it. We all love this. We love motorsports. We love racing. Like, why does that bother you so much with it? Ugh. But it's also okay. Like, you can suck and still enjoy something. I don't think people realize that anymore. And I don't know what happened to that. You don't have to be good at something to enjoy it. I'm not good at arcade, like when I go to an arcade and play air hockey with my brother, but I still enjoy the time I spend with my, you know, I don't have to win at every single thing, and I'm learning, and I think that's why I love sim racing and Formula One so much, because you're constantly learning about how this car acts, how you need to brake, where your braking points
I've been technically sim racing for almost 5 years, and it's like, I'm not like the fastest sim racer in the world. I don't have the time or energy to devote into because you know that takes a lot of practice. So I don't know if this is internet culture in general that's just become toxic, if that makes sense, or if it's just like we're trying to define ourselves by our interests, which is crappy to begin with, but what are you gonna do? That's human nature, right?
Yeah, and specifically for my stream, I try to shut that stuff down. Whew, almost said another word there. I try to shut that stuff down pretty quickly when it comes to any kind of insulting like that back and forth or commenting. Because at this point, I don't mind it if someone comes in and goes, "You suck." Mm-hmm. But I can't. It's just, can you imagine if they go to someone who's new or like a younger woman who's like, "I'm going to stream for the first time. I want to do motorsports," and they come in and they just completely ride on her or them. And it's just, I would hate that. I would hate to see the face. Cause I remember when I got my first mean comment and it like destroyed me. So you just want to, I just like want to protect, but I can't do that. Like I can't be everywhere, but change it one stream at a time, I guess.
Changing minds one person at a time is how you change the world.
Doing our best.
Yep. Through the joys of this sim racing.
But if someone flashes their lights at me, I swear to God.
Oh, man. Oh, we could do it just an hour podcast just based on that.
Flashing lights. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So, obviously, you're in the Formula One scene, so you're familiar with the W Series. Mm-hmm. So, in your opinion, should there be a W Series style sim racing competition? Or do you think that women in sim racing should just race their way up through, like, normal? I don't know if normal is the right word for that, but I think you kind of get what I'm getting at.
You mean the way it's always been? Like a boys
band? Yeah, I guess. I actively avoid saying the way it's always been just because I don't like that sentiment, but continue.
I do believe there should be a W Series. I really think for most motorsports, and the reason I say that is it would be fantastic if I had a group of women to go to when I first started sim racing and learning about it and trying to climb my way back up. It's because it's hard. It's hard. It's not an easy thing to do.
No, it's not.
Sim racing in general.
It's definitely not.
And if you want to be really good at it, like you said, you need time, dedication. Yeah. You really need to be like good with the tracks, good with the cars, and know what you're doing. So if I had just a group of women to go to who had the resources, were able to kind help me and guide me, and I'm still feel like I'm floundering a little bit, and I'm constantly needing a space to be able to say like, "Hey, like, I don't know this. Like, hey, this might be a dumb question, but
there's no such thing as dumb questions."
I know, but it's it's definitely difficult on stream, especially. Yeah. And I hate that I do this to myself, but I just need a sim race that I am learning on stream, and then everyone comes in. I've gotten many DMs from men after lots of streams saying, "Oh, no. Oh, I could help you with this. Oh, you said this and this is completely wrong." Like every single time I sim race, there is at least 3 DMs after my stream saying like, "You did this wrong. You need to do this. You need this." And I was like, "I don't remember when I asked you."
Yeah.
I don't remember when why you just decided to barge in here, and whether it's rude sometimes, it's just like a whole nother story. And then I say, "Thank you." And they're like, "Oh, you don't need my help." And I was like, Jesus. So yeah, if I had,
I'm sorry, you're so fragile.
If I had a dedicated group of women to go to and be that kind of just around badass women who understood what it was like and the stuff that we go through, then absolutely. Yes. I think it'd be amazing. And I think it would encourage a lot of other women or girls to start sim racing.
Yeah, definitely. There's always room for more people, regardless of gender or sex or whatever the proper word for that. There's always more room for sim racing for more people. I've always said that there is not a limit, especially since sim racing is more recently become the way that people are getting into motorsports in general. It's kind of replaced karting in that respect.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to see the spot track, and then they'll be racing there this season. I'll be like, "Oh, I know what that's like, because the W200 race." Kind of know what it's like, excuse me, but like, close enough.
They're laser scanned, they're pretty close.
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah. So, who are some of your favorite women in sim racing that we should be checking out, that you feel that women who are trying to get into sim racing should reach out? They have questions or want help or things like that. Or, you know, if anyone has any questions.
Sure. There are a ton of awesome women sim racers on Twitch. And I know there's a few on YouTube, but I'm obviously more familiar with the Twitch world of things, as I am deeply ingrained in that. I think off the top of my head, honestly, Annie Rabbits comes to mind. So kind. I keep saying kind, and people are like, of course people are kind. And it's like, you'd be really surprised to find out how unkind some people are on the internet. So when you do find people that are really cool and kind and patient and understanding, I just want to talk about them till the cows come home. So yeah. Annie Rabbits is one of those people, and I will be internally grateful for her and letting me race the Daytona 24 with her and her teams. A great resource. I think there's also Love 46. Super cool. We have, those are the two big ones I would go to directly ask questions and learn. And then we have a lot of smaller streamers who are just really into sim racing, whether it's Mojo Show, Just Hun, Natalie Decker streams, MJ Ward, Sophie.
I've heard about Natalie Decker streams.
It's so cool. Hannah Sophie, Emery, Quick Gabby. Those are just some of the few women that I know that definitely do sim race, whether it's F1 or iRacing. And they're just happy to do it. And if mean people come in, they're like, I don't have time for this. I want to sim race. Like, I'm happy to be here. I don't care if I'm bad or if you disagree with the way I'm doing things. I'm just here to have a good time. And I appreciate that kind of attitude.
Yeah. Sounds like there are a lot of women sim racers out there that we should be paying attention to.
And the fact that we're all so passionate about it.
Yeah.
I think it's really infectious when someone really cares about it and it really shows.
Yeah, most definitely. So we're about out of time, just because there's like 5,000 things we can cover on the night show as well. is there anything you want to plug? Anything that else you want to talk about? By what you're working with, more sim racing topics that we might not have covered?
Oh, gosh. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I think we covered like the big things. And no, nothing to plug. Just be kind to people when you sim race and your motorsport fans, and just
don't be a jerk.
Yeah, just share, work hard, be kind, and just share the love of motorsports we all have. It's really it's really it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on the show, Ash, and maybe we'll have you back in the future to talk to us more.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Thank you so much for having me. This was cool.
Again, thanks to Ash for sitting down with me and talking about all that stuff. If you want to see more of Ash's content, she's very active on Instagram and TikTok. She also streams every Tuesday and Thursday, usually talking about F1 in some way, and then she does some sim racing or some other various gaming activity. And she's also live before F1 qualifying and the race itself. So we'll be tweeting out her links and everything during the run of tonight's show. And I'll also be tweeting out the other sim racing females that she mentioned as well.
Excellent.
Yes. We'll have to have her back on the show again.
For sure.
Not sure what for yet, but she was fun to talk to. So
we can do some off-the-cuff banter.
Yes. Because you know how good I am at that.
Yes, we are. Well, both of us are, really. Yeah. I just want to be silly, like always.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so should we talk about some racing news, Louie?
I think that's what we're brought on the air to do. So, yeah. Scheduling says we should.
Yes.
Scheduled programming says we should.
Yeah. So, earlier this week, the day that we're recording this, ACC, Aceto Corsa Competición, you were close, Tim, released their new Challengers DLC. Of course, we've talked about this a couple different times in the show, but it included the Audi R8 LMS GT3 Evo 2, the BMW M2 CS Racing, the Ferrari 488 Challenge Evo, the Lamborghini Huracan Super Trofeo Evo 2, and of course the Porsche 911 GT3 Cup 992. Lewis is very, very excited for the Cup, apparently.
Oh, what is there not to like about the Cup?
I actually did manage to find some time today, Wednesday, and drive all of these cars.
Oh, very nice. I still haven't had my hands on it yet. So
I only got like 5 laps in each of them. So
was going to say, I've only been home since Sunday, and I haven't had any amount of time really to sit down and play any of this stuff. So
yeah,
I'm on catch-up mode, man.
I'll just talk briefly about my thoughts about each car. Obviously, the Cup car is really fun to drive. I have to get used to not having traction control because everything else on Assetto Corsa Competizione has traction control, so mm-hmm. I'm used to just flooring it.
If I'm not mistaken, the older Cup car, the 991 based one, doesn't have traction control either.
It does not.
Okay, and I didn't think so.
I haven't really ventured with that car very much. Because
that one's very tail happy, but it's so much fun to drive.
Yeah. No, the Cup car has great grip. It's got great acceleration. You can really throw it into a corner and it will grip. You just have to be a little careful on the gas coming out of corners.
Huracan straight.
Yes. As for the Huracan Super Trofeo Evo 2, that thing feels like a rocket ship.
the new Lambo. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it looks so much more aggressive than the previous one.
It is too. So much more aggressive than the other one too. Like, I was able to take the Parabolica at Monza pretty much flat out. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
That's a happy giggle right there.
I will also say that all the cars in this pack sound really good.
Oh, like, I was going to say, it's a set of Corsa. I think they've prided themselves pretty good on is their sounds.
Yeah.
I mean, everything sounds great. I mean, there's a couple cars I think that they have in there in the GT3 field that they've duplicated the sounds on. But at the same time, I've watched comparison videos of it, and you can pick up on some differences between them. So
yeah. These ones in particular, just because I was paying attention to while I was driving them, they have these little pops and bangs whenever you're putting it in gear and out of gear. Like, the M2, for instance, when you shift down into second when you're going into a tighter corner, like the Andretti mm-hmm. hairpin on Laguna Seca's where I was test driving it, it does this little sound, which is really fun. Yeah, that car, the M2, is, I had the most fun with it just because it's so chuckable. It's less than 400 horsepower. It has traction control, but this car, you can just turn it off because you don't really need it.
Right.
And
sounds similar to the one that's on R Factor too.
Yeah. You can just throw it into a corner and it will stick. But if you try to do it just that little too much, it will bite you. Hard. The new R8 Evo 2, honestly, that just kind of feels like they took the current, like the Audi that's in the game right now, copy pasted it with a new body. I didn't really see that much difference between the two. The only real difference is that the aero is and suspension a little bit different from the other car, apparently. But it's a really good GT3 car. It's nimble, has great handling. Just nothing really more I could say about it. It's a good car.
As would be expected from Audi.
Yeah. The most interesting one, though, was the Ferrari 488 Challenge Evo. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's one of the first GT-style cars, sports, like GT racing sport car-style cars that I've driven with a 7-speed transmission. So that was interesting.
Oh, yes.
So it's like 6 gear. Oh, wait, I got to go one more. There we go.
Yeah, I get more.
Yeah. it's very powerful. It's near 700 horsepower, if I'm remembering correctly.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. It's a little bit heavier.
670. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little bit heavier than the GT3, again, if I remember correctly. So, and
how's that translate into the steering? Does it handle worse or more like a tank to the GT3?
I haven't driven the GT3 that much on Assetto Corsa. I've driven it mostly on the on iRacing because that's our car that mm-hmm. we used for Daytona. That's the car we're going to be using this weekend for Sebring.
Mm-hmm. Which, good looking at, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. But steering felt fine. The thing about it is, though, its brakes aren't the best. Like, I don't know if it has just less brake pressure than the other, but I literally had to stop the car, like, start braking 20 to 30 meters before I was with the 911. Because I both test drove both of them at Spa.
Oh,
okay. Drove both of them at Spa, excuse me. Yeah. Like, coming up to that first, the first chicane on the, right after, right on in Rouge. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, the, down the Camel Straight, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I couldn't think of the name of the street. Coming down to the Camel Straight into that chicane, the 911, I was able to start braking at the curbing that's on the left, mm-hmm. and it was fine. Ferrari had to start, like, back with a 150 board.
Okay, so that's, I mean, in racing terms, that's pretty drastic, but mm-hmm. actually, yeah, it's just that drastic. Yeah. Actually, racing terms is what we have to discuss here. I told you I got a Sebring hangover, man.
Yeah, I know. But, but you know, these are all challenge cars within, like, their own...
Mm-hmm.
Within their own series.
Yeah, that's why I always love the... they used to do it all the time, actually, for the 24 Hours of Spa was the National class, which was mm-hmm. basically all the challenge cars thrown in together in one class,
yeah.
which I thought was actually pretty fun to watch them all compete against each other.
Yeah. So, I don't... Doing that with the ones here are going to be interesting. Obviously, the M2 doesn't have the power to keep up with the other ones.
Oh, no. I don't think you could throw the M2 in that one.
No. The Ferrari and the Super Trofeo, probably. The Porsche probably wouldn't have the straight line speed to keep up with the other two. Because we're talking... What, V10, V8, and a flat six. So, just doesn't have the torque or the acceleration.
Depends on the power band, sir. Depends on the power band.
Yes. Unfortunately, I don't remember what lap times I was doing.
Oh, it doesn't matter. If you're test driving, nobody cares where you're test driving. It's just what feels good and how fun is it to drive.
Yeah. I mean, I could have lots of fun with any of these five cars, honestly.
Oh, I can believe it. It's definitely a very good looking pack, and I honestly can't wait to try it. I'll probably get my hands on it on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
hopefully sooner.
We'll find out. If people remember our show, the US show two shows ago, going back to February now, we talked about how Kunal said that this DLC was coming, and the next DLC, whenever that happens, will be whatever track DLC that we're getting, whether that's the US pack or the Asia pack or a combined US Asia pack. So I definitely keep an eye on a set of course of competition.
Question is, how long are they going to wait on that one?
Probably summer, if I remember correctly.
Okay, so not too god awfully long.
No.
Still long, but not like
still long,
oh my god,
but not...
what's so wrong with it?
Yeah. Anyway, moving right along, you want to talk about Gran Turismo 7's money woes?
As much as I can remember of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, basically, what would be a good way to start out describing this one? Basically, they're coming to a point where things are starting to cost too much, a little bit too fast for people.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the winnings inside of the game aren't able to catch up with that. So basically, it turns into a very long grind, which anybody who's played Gran Turismo since the get-go
mm-hmm.
knows that's not too unfamiliar
yeah.
sort of thing. But with today's day and age, not that there's anything wrong with a grind, as long as that grind is making progress in the same direction, as opposed to me having to stall out here, go grind off, make progress somewhere else to come back to make more progress over into this direction. So basically it doesn't turn into a giant tree.
Yeah.
Effectively. So, and by the looks of it, since I've read about that last week, I guess they're going to start, I don't know if somebody posted that or if it's actually going to happen. They're going to start microtransactions.
Well, the microtransactions were something that were in the game at launch. It's just that
I never found them, but okay.
They're there.
They hid them very well, but at the same time, I'm not looking.
Yeah. I can't think of the name of it, but it's the top bar of whenever you're in the GT World screen where your bunny is. You can hit the token next to it, and it'll give you a bunch of microtransaction options.
No, okay. Well, I'll have to look for that next time.
Yeah, it's kind of like how GTA or Forza worked, where it's like you can buy a fake currency to buy fake cars, basically.
Yeah, so I see what they are here. So for 100,000 in-game is $2.50.
Mm-hmm.
For 250,000, it's $5. 750,000 is $10. 2 million is 20. And to be honest with you, I expected that to be worse. In all honesty.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I mean, it's not great, but I expected that to be worse.
Yeah. Here's where we get a little fly in the ointment, though.
In the ointment.
Yeah. So,
okay.
So I'm going to back up a little bit here.
I'm not going to lie, that's a new one for me, Ben.
Really?
Yeah, fly in the ointment. That's a new one for me.
Really? That you've never heard of that before?
No, I really haven't. Welcome to the Simcast. We occasionally talk about
sim racing news. Throwing my own catchphrase back at me, are we? I see how it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got to do it sometimes.
Yeah. Okay.
So makes me feel responsible.
Going back a week to last Thursday.
Last Thursday. Okay.
Yeah. When Matt and Jordan's show aired last week, the Gran Turismo servers were down.
I heard about this. Yes, it was down for about 24 hours, right?
36 hours.
Whoa.
Yeah. That apparently, according to Polyphony, was caused by them noticing a pretty significant bug in the update, which wouldn't let you get to the GT World screen.
Interesting.
So you basically couldn't play the game. So...
Well, was it that, or is it because you had no internet access?
Well,
unfortunately, even though you're not playing online, you still need internet access to play offline.
Yeah, you need a lot of internet access to just save the game as well.
Yeah,
it was.
Just silly, in my opinion. But anyway.
If I'm reading it correctly, what happened was they noticed that was going to happen, so they just shut the service down completely so that they could fix it.
Wow.
Yeah, so the game was down.
At least they had come out and admitted that's what happened, and that's why it was down for so long.
Yeah. While they were able to fix that bug, the other changes that were in that update came through as well, which some of those changes actually decreased the payouts of in-game currency whenever you did an event. So... You would do a race and literally get less money for cars and parts than you did previously.
So basically, if I ran the race the first time and I got 50,000 credits for it, we'll say, I ran the exact same race, nothing's changed, I would get 45?
I'm not sure what...
Like that, and if I ran it again, it would be 40?
No, it's... If we're using that metaphor, if I'm reading this correctly, it was you had 50 before, now you're only getting 45.
If it stays at 45, not so
stays
bad.
Stays at 45, yeah. But
okay, so it's not continuously rolling over. Okay, I was going to say, well, that's going to make grinding a heck of a lot harder.
Yeah.
And you got to do some of it now, but holy crap.
Yeah, well, because people will rely so much on the grinding, and because of the way that Gran Turismo 7 works with you, the really, like, pricey cars are really pricey.
Yeah.
Like, the 917K... Porsche 917K. You're familiar with the car.
Oh, yes.
That's 18 million.
Right.
So, how it works in the current system, and I'm going to have to thank Don Juan Song for doing the math for this, is that to be able to afford two of those cars, you would either have to do the best race 663 times, or... pay £288 in microtransactions.
That is ridiculous.
For comparison, that's the same price that you could buy an Xbox Series X, Game Pass Ultimate, and still have some money left over.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Why would you put a car in a game that is that expensive? one way or the other, whether it be using real cash or virtual currencies, where you have to do the same race. What was it? 600 and what?
663.
That's ridiculous. I don't care how much of a diehard racer you are. You cannot keep playing or driving the same race that many times.
Yeah. Well, this is all coming back to the way that GT7 is designed. And I know I already said that, but it's a good way to introduce it in a bite-sized chunk, is that because of the intentional game design, where the more valuable and rare cars cost more, this is kind of where this is playing into that. So, and it's...
Which again, I get.
I get that as well, but...
But at the same time, when you have a car that is virtually and literally unachievable, mm-hmm. then what is the point of having it in the game?
That's kind of the question.
Unless somebody wants to go out there and go ahead and spend a car payment on microtransactions.
Yeah, that's kind of what people have been asking. Because the internet being the internet, people have been going to game review sites and has been review bombing the heck out of Gran Turismo 7 to the point that we're starting to see headlines now that Gran Turismo 7, the same game that we praised in this show not 2 weeks ago, is now rated the worst Gran Turismo game ever.
And at the same time, that's not a fair shake to give them.
It's not.
The gameplay itself is brilliant. Everything about it is brilliant. The way they're trying to go about doing this and how you achieve that is not.
Yeah. And something that I said during when we talked about the game 2 weeks ago, I understand that they want to make it more difficult to get more rare cars, but at the same time, it's like I don't appreciate barriers to the type of experience that I want to have in a game like this, which is literally car fantasy in some aspects. Because it's like I'm never going to get to drive a Porsche 917K in real life, so I want to do it in a game. Oh, I have to do what to afford it?
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing. I haven't read anywhere, and I don't know if anybody has achieved it yet, the end of the menu books that happen in the world map.
But there's close to 40 of them, so I'm assuming...
Okay, there's close to 40 of them, okay. So I was going to say...
Someone has already done it.
Okay, if that's the case, it makes me wonder then, which I'm guessing it hasn't, because otherwise we would have heard about it, if the 917 would be available via one of those.
I'm not sure. I have to look that up, honestly.
Yeah. Because then, if it's not, then I can understand people's outrage on the transactions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or in order to get enough in-game credits to win the car, or get the car, for that matter. But if not, or if you do get it, then I don't entirely understand the outrage for that in particular.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Yeah. However, here we are.
Yeah.
I will, to add to this, Yamaguchi, the guy who founded Gran Turismo, he has actually had to release a statement that basically says, this is what happened. This is where we found out about the whole update going to break the game. So we need to shut the service down to fix the thing. He has said that over the next couple of months that there will be more content coming out, but like missions, races, events, and features that will, quote, constructively resolve the perceived necessity of grinding the game in its current state.
Okay.
So what that means, I'm not sure yet, but
it sounds like an admission of guilt, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, at least.
And this is the way how we're going to fix it.
Yeah, at least Polyphony is willing to say, yeah, I know we kind of screwed up on this one and we're going to work on it. So,
well, at least they've come out and said that this is how we're going to fix it. And they flat out said it's not going to be done by tomorrow, but stick with it and it will be better. So, I mean, that takes, first of all, a lot of guts to do. Second of all, the fact that he has a game plan that far in advance, or that far advanced in such a short amount of time, that's kudos to them, I would have to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
are you happy with him now? No, but will you be? Yes.
Eventually, yes. Yeah. He did say that he liked people to, quote, watch over the growth of Grand Theft Auto 7 from a somewhat longer term point of view. So, regardless,
you kind of have to.
Yeah. Regardless, it's just been a rough week of Grand Theft Auto 7. Yeah.
Well, at the same time, if you look at all their releases since 4, really, how many years is it in between each one? And bless them on Sport, they updated it pretty much all the way up until this came out.
They pretty much did, yeah.
I mean, that adds a lot of longevity to a game and adds freshness to it, and people keep coming back for it. I mean, if you ask me, that they're doing a good job.
Yeah.
If they do this one the same way, we can wait 20 years before we get another one. I don't care.
And
as long as you keep it fresh.
Yeah, and as we've pretty much got nothing but radio silence from Turn 10 about the next Forza Motorsport right now, literally the last they've shared one trailer, and they've done a couple updates on their monthly live stream. But other than that, we haven't seen anything about the game for a couple months now.
They've gone back and decided to do some new homework, because what they're going to release was probably not as good.
Yeah,
that's what that tells me. If they went silent all of a sudden,
well, it's not silent all of a sudden. It's more like they aren't sharing enough to keep people interested.
Yeah, which isn't reassuring in of itself.
Yeah, and in Tora's case, I'm not overly reassured about when this game's going to come out.
Right, something that should have been out 2 years ago is now almost going on to 4 years now.
4 years. About 5 years, excuse me.
5 years. Okay, so even worse.
It'll be 5 years and 6 months.
That's amazing.
Yep.
A biannual release went 5 years.
Yep. Anyway, so we still think Gran Turismo 7 is worth buying if you're interested in racing, just with the understanding that it's going to be kind of a slow burner game. At least that's my opinion. Anyway, so with the last 5 minutes left in tonight's show, it's time for the Esports Roundup of the Week.
Esports Roundup of the Week.
The Esports Roundup of the Week is brought to you by The Gaming Athlete. Head over to
The Gaming Athlete. Sorry.
Head on over to thegamingathlete.com to learn about how to reach athlete status in gaming by maximizing your performance and restoring your well-being. Once again, that's thegamingathlete.com. Lewis, we've got Porsche Esports Super Cup.
All right, let's see how well this works out for us.
Oh, I remember what the name of the series is. I couldn't remember it earlier when I was talking to Ash. But
yeah, let's see if I can remember how to speak coherently here. Porsche Esports Super Cup, presented by Tag Heuer. Actually, let's use the proper one because I'm trying to add stuff and make it sound fancy. Porsche Tag Heuer Esports Super Cup. There we go. Which see the drivers head to the famous Silverstone Circuit in the United Kingdom. In his home race, Sebastian Joab would take his second pole position of the season and would duly go on to win the 7-lap sprint race. That's a really short one, actually. I thought they were a little bit longer. He would be followed on. Yeah, Silverstone, fair point.
Yep.
He would be followed all the way by second place, Max Benick. Sorry if I mispronounced the name. Who would finish right on his gearbox, just 0.2 behind, with Benick's teammate, Diogo Pinto, rounding out the sprint race podium. Eighth place for Alejandro Sanchez would put the Spaniard on pole position for the reverse grid feature race. Sanchez would hold on to the lead at the start of the race, but he would duel with Charlie Collins for the lead throughout the 14-lap feature. Sanchez would work his way back into the lead with 6 laps remaining, and from there he would just manage to keep out of range of Collins until the checkered flag. As a result, Alejandro Sanchez would cross the line to take his second Porsche Esports Cup feature race victory. Collins would take second place with just a mere 0.2 seconds between himself and Sanchez. Zach Campbell would take the final spot on the podium. Diogo Pinto leaves Silverstone as the championship leader with 20-point margin over second place, Zach Campbell. Sebastian Jobe's sprint race win moves him into fifth in the standings, with feature race winner Sanchez now in ninth, 85 points off the lead. The 2022 Porsche Tag Heuer Esports Super Cup continues with round five at the Red Bull Ring this weekend. I can't believe I made that much sense.
I think tonight's show has been a great success. What do you think?
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun, and surprised I could remember how to do this. As is anybody that's actually had an absolute blast out on the racetrack, or out at the races anyway. So, and yeah, I'm glad this one's over. I'm really looking forward to next year's. So, I mean,
yeah. Hope maybe I'll be there next year. I don't know.
That'll be very welcome.
Yeah. Anyway, it's time to end tonight's show. From myself and Lewis and all of us here at the Simcast, thank you for tuning in. Be safe out there.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.